We're going to turn to Galatians chapter 5 for our meditation this morning. Moving on to the end of the chapter from verse 16. We have been to the verse 14 and 15. So we're coming today to verse 16. Following for our reading. So let us give our attention to God's holy inspired word. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, that is, they are seen and shown forth, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which a long word for lust, and, you know, really a sexual lust, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. Always got to fight about it. Give me my toys. They're mine. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle of death. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, that is pride, provoking one another wrongfully. It's here. Envying one another. Amen. We end our reading there at the close of the chapter, and we trust that the Lord will bless His word to us today. So let us continue in prayer. Oh God, we confess that we have no strength in ourselves. Our sufficiency is only in Christ. We cry unto Thee that Thou wilt come, O Spirit of God. Rise up, O Spirit of God, and minister to us this day. Oh, we need Thee. Oh, we need Thee beyond what our awareness may be. Oh, God, help us, we pray. Speak to every one of us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17 is our text for today. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that we cannot do the things, so that you cannot do the things that you would. We will explain that in more detail as we go along today. One dark and stormy night, a Scottish Presbyterian minister was riding home on his horse. Going across a wide valley, he had lost his way. At last, after just putting the reins on the horse's neck and letting him go, he saw some dim light in the distance. It was coming from a farmhouse. So he rode up to that farmhouse, got off, and knocked at the door, and asked permission to just sit by the fire till morning. He was welcomed in and granted that permission. Over in a corner, the lady of the house was lying on her deathbed. A popish priest was administering to her last rites, extreme unction. After the priest had finished and left, the minister went over and asked her if she had peace with God by what the priest had said and done. She said that she had no peace. She had no hope. He then shared with her the truth of the gospel, salvation by grace and faith in Christ's blood alone. The Lord enabled her that night to understand, and she believed on Christ. She passed away before dawn. At daylight, the minister prayed with the farmer and went out, mounted his horse, and rode away home. When he got home, he told his wife that he had seen a great wonder that night. He said, "I came last night into a farmhouse. There I saw a woman in the estate of nature. She came into the estate of grace, and I left her in the estate of glory." Our text this morning, Galatians 5:17, only addresses one of these three estates. Now, we will look at the text in the light of all three of these estates of sinful man. Of course, the old Puritan Thomas Boston wrote the fourfold state of human nature. And after he was referring to in the Garden of Eden, thank God there was a state of innocence, but didn't last too long. Then the estate of nature, and the estate of grace, and the estate of glory. So we'll look at this verse in the light of those three. We know that the state of nature is not being addressed here in Galatians 5:17. "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh." The natural man is a stranger to this struggle that is described here in this verse, as well as in Romans chapter 7. The life or the existence of those which have never experienced the new birth is described in Scripture as walking according to the course of this world. Ephesians 2:2. And all of the feelings, all the thoughts, and all the inclinations of lost sinners are controlled by their fallen nature, by their fallen state. Certainly, unregenerate people have moments when their actions, their words, and their affections disturb their consciences. Now, let's draw a sharp line right here. When a lost person, because of what they've been thinking, saying, or doing, affects their conscience, what's happening? This is simply a remaining vestige of the image of God in which they were created. Romans chapter 2, verse 15, this shows the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing. And when a person is lost, what does the conscience most often do? Rationalizes. "It really wasn't my fault. It was because of them." You know, the way it is. The human conscience is not an absolutely accurate nor a trustworthy witness. For the conscience is as much a part of the human heart as the intellect and the will are. And we are told by holy inspiration in Proverbs 28:26 that he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17:9. Though unregenerate people may seem to have a struggle within themselves like that in this verse. It is only a conflict between the distinct faculties of their flesh. It is exactly as Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that's all it is. Because the Holy Spirit does not indwell lost people. The natural state is having not the Spirit. And sadly, the natural state lets the sinner continue merrily on his way into everlasting perdition. That's what the natural state will do. That's what the rationalizing conscience will do in the lost person. But thank God we come to this verse and we deal with the state of grace. It is altogether different because it is by grace that we are saved through faith. As Paul wrote to Titus, it is the grace of God that bringeth salvation, that teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live righteously, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Titus 2:12. Now, it's interesting to study that context as the Spirit of God moved Paul to write to young Titus, a pastor in Crete. Because the believers in Crete, although born of God, needed to hear God's truth about holiness of life because Christ has redeemed his people to be pure and to be zealous of good works. Titus 2:14. Now, these things that Titus was to bring to the people as what every faithful minister must be doing, continually speaking and exhorting. As Titus 2:14 says, to speak and to exhort. It's in the present continual tense. It is something that's got to be constantly brought before us. Because Galatians 5:17 is our experience. This terrible struggle is going on. It was going on in the first century in the believers. It's going on in us now. But it's a wonderful thing. Because we know there's something going on that wasn't going on before. There's been a change. Immediately when those sinners in Galatia heard the gospel of Christ and were enabled to believe savingly on Him, the battle began to rage within their heart and experience. When the Holy Spirit came in to live and in them, to indwell them, the war exploded in their renewed heart and life. As Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7 and verse 9, oh, I'm going to turn over there. This is Galatians 5:17 goes right with Romans chapter 7. So I'm going to turn over there. I'm going to stick a marker in there where I don't lose it. Because this is so absolutely important to understand Romans 7 along with Galatians 5:17. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 9, for I was alive without the law once. What does he mean? He said, but life was going merrily on. I was prospering as a Pharisee, having Christians killed, just having a great old time. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. I realized I was a dead man. He was simply stating that before the law came to him personally with its condemning power, he had been happy enough living in sin, enjoying life without God and without submission to God's word. He was just living in religious pretense as a benighted Pharisee. And there's a message right there to us. Because it's so easy just to live as a religious Pharisee. I lived there for 2 decades. Let me say, I existed there for 2 decades approximately. And I know, and I say this because I have this genuine desire to be a help to you, that you might be delivered. If you're just living there in religious pretense, where I lived, some folks actually thought that I was a real genuine Christian, but others, oh, it bothered me when others could see through the empty shell of my religious profession. It really bothered me, got under my skin when I was around people like that, because they could see that I wasn't real. Yeah. So Paul met Christ. When he met him on the Damascus Road, everything changed. It changed radically. The war began. The lifelong struggle was underway. For the first time in the life of that religious Pharisee, he saw something of the real holiness of God reflected in God's law. Look at Romans chapter 7 there in verse 12. Romans 7 in verse 12, he says, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good." Look down at verse 14. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Wow. What does that mean? He says the law is holy, spiritual, just, and good, but I'm carnal. He realized it. It came to him so powerfully. As a renewed child of God, Paul's new nature wanted to submit to God's law. He could perceive the wonder, the purity of Jehovah, and he understood something of the glorious beauty of God and of His law, and he wanted it. He wanted to obey it for the first time in his life. The Holy Spirit had come into him to live, and when the Holy Spirit comes in, He moves us to obey the Lord. But the flesh, that remaining corruption of our sinful nature, still wrestles against the Spirit to pull us away from that loving obedience. Now, let's go to our verse. Paul describes the struggle in Galatians 5:17. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." I want you to get that word, lusteth. The word is literally an overburning fleshly desire, is what that is. The flesh lusteth. It's an overburning desire, literally. The Spirit moves against the flesh. Hallelujah. These are contrary to one another. What does that mean? They are totally established opposites, openly hostile to each other, so that you cannot, or you're unable to do the things that you may desire to do. This mortal combat involves not merely the fleshly body, no, but also the thinking, the willing, the feeling, as Peter called him. You read Peter's epistle, it's so good. Even after Paul rebuked him in Antioch. How does Peter refer to Paul? He said, "Our beloved brother Paul." He talks about this mortal struggle. Let's look at Romans 7 and verse 15. Paul says, he's describing the struggle. Do you know this? Is this your life? He says in verse 15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then is no more I that do it," not the real I, "but sin that dwelleth in me." It's that old corrupt nature raising its filthy, ugly head within me. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I really want to, I do not. but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I, not the real me, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now listen to this. No one saved person can say this with all honesty. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I identify with God and His truth. I love it. I know it's right and I want it. Lost people don't live that way. I delight in the law of God. But I see another law in my members. Warring, here's the struggle, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Thank God, here's the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Notice what kind of people there now are who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, Spirit of God, I want to run after you. I don't want to run after all those things I used to run after. Okay. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, through our sinful flesh. God, sending His own Son in the likeness of our sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who's the us? The us are those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's so true. My life before was all about the flesh. And that's what I walked after. That's what I sought. That's what I pursued. But now, oh God, help me. I want to pursue Thee. I want to pursue Thy truth and the things of the Spirit of God. Because I've been changed. Okay. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Although this struggle within the life of the born-again believer sometimes causes us to doubt, it should do the exact opposite. The true child of God sometimes asks, why did I do that? Why did I say that? I hate myself for that. This continual struggle is actually another evidence of the grace of God at work in us. Because you look out there. I mean, people are troubled by guilty consciences, yeah. Sometimes to the point they blow their brains out. But the child of God is struggling, and it's an evidence of the grace of God. It is declared in the Scriptures to be the normal Christian life, a life of fighting the good fight of faith. 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul said, I fought a good fight. Christ taught us this very same thing in the Sermon on the Mount. Did you ever just notice those Beatitudes? Matthew 5:4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. This mourning of which Christ is speaking is mourning over sin. It's not mourning because somebody died. It's mourning, blessed are they that mourn. I really feel bad about sin. I don't like this. Look at the Beatitude in verse 6. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now notice, Jesus did not say, blessed are those who are filled with righteousness. No, He didn't say that. He said, blessed are those that are presently yearning, hungering, thirsting, stretching, pressing forward toward righteousness. As Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 and verse 9. I want that righteousness in my life. I'm pursuing it. Not that I've already attained. I want more of that. I want to be conformed to Christ. Yes. Thank God. There is coming a time in the future. As Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger, present tense, hungering and thirsting presently, for in the future they shall be filled. Totally with that righteousness, a constant enjoyment of that for all eternity. We will enjoy being entirely complete in that righteousness forever. So we come lastly to the state of glory. For the believer, there will be no more struggle, no more wrestlings, no more fighting against our own sin, no more fighting against our sinful tendencies, for we will never sin again. Wow. We will rest from our labors. Revelation 14, 13. We will be comforted. Luke 16, 25. There will never be another temptation. There will never be another wrong attitude. There will be never be another wrong thought. There will never be a thought that fails to glorify God. Every word spoken will be pleasing to the triune God. There will be the full enjoying of God to all eternity. To you believers, I say, take heart. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Fight the good fight of faith. How? Let us call upon the Holy Spirit who indwells us to help us, to bring the Scriptures to our minds and to our memory so that like Jesus, we will use that Scripture to resist the devil, to resist the world, to resist the flesh. So that we may overcome sin and temptation, both inside of us as well as outside of us. Oh, dear soul, living without this struggle within, you must be born again. You must become a soldier of Christ, because only those that know Christ and experience this battle and follow Him we'll see Him, enter into His glory, and enjoy Him forever. The horrible nature of a Christless eternity will be unbearable without the Savior. You will be most miserable on and on for all eternity. Oh, you think of that dear woman at the point of death that night. Like the thief on the cross, neither of them had to long endure this very real combat and struggle that we've been considering from God's Word. But they quickly entered in to the estate of everlasting glory. Let us pray together. Oh, we thank Thee, our Father in heaven, that God's war is better than the devil's peace. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bring Thy truth home to our hearts this day. Help us to consider ourselves and even to prepare for the meeting this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.